portable pulpit mania, whatever it is. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'd like to greet all those who haven't been taken out by the coronavirus. Thank you. Our world is getting nuts. This is nuts. Went to Red Leaf this morning and I couldn't sign on the little clipboard anymore because they can't pass it back and forth. I go, well, I'm signing this paper and giving you back the paper. And she goes, well, that's about money. I guess it's okay if it's money. I'm really excited for today. Can you tell? Are you? That was awesome worship. Oh. I hope he stays, because I'm going to need him here in a little bit. When I was youngin' in the Lord, somebody gave me a little book, and it had a picture of a monk on the front, and I thought, oh, what is this? And it was a book by Brother Lawrence. That's actually not a picture of him here on the notes. I don't think they had cameras in the 1600s. But somebody, some artist rendition of who he might look, what he might look like. And it really impacted me. I think they gave it to me because they wanted me to learn about prayer. And Brother Lawrence was known for his unique way of engaging with God. And he has been very popular through the years. You can see that he was born in 1611, died quite a bit later. He lived quite an old age in France. And I've got a little bit, yeah, come on up. I've got a little of his history here for those of you who might be interested in who he is and where he's come from and what he's like. And so he was a soldier and had an encounter with God when he got wounded. And in his encounter with God, he had an experience with God. How many of you had some kind of, some people say it's fireworks when they get saved, but some kind of an experience with God when you got saved? Like maybe a third? I didn't. It was a process for me. And so I have a lot of patience with that process with other people. Sometimes it just takes a little while. Sometimes it's a pretty explosive thing and really captivates you and captivates your heart when you have this encounter with God. Originally, Jody had one of those when you want to tell them how you got saved with Kelly? I know you love to get up here, so. You'll make Victoria happy if you do this.
I was a nursing student, and my patient was a 10-year-old little boy that had Wilson's disease, which is his body didn't metabolize copper. And so I was in a hard time in my life. I was living by myself, going to nursing school, had a lot of trauma from growing up. And I walked into his room, and I was trying to connect with him, you know. And he had a book that I thought it said angles. It said angels. I'm really smart. Anyway, I went to Kelso. But anyway, I said, oh, do you need some help with your math book? Or with your math? And he goes, this isn't math. This is about angels. I go, oh, okay. And he goes, yeah, there's angels that come into my room when I'm really sick, and they minister to me. And he started telling me about Jesus and about God. And it was like, I was just like overwhelmed because I was coming to comfort him, and he was preaching the gospel to me, and he's 10 years old. And so I went out of it, and the Holy Spirit just started working into my heart. And I said, okay. I went out to this club. But anyway, I came back and I said, oh, that wasn't any fun. And this is horrible. I had this wrestling. And I said, okay, God, if you're really real and this is true, wake me up in the morning and I'll go to your stupid church. So I woke up at like 7 and I was like, oh, really? I want to sleep in. And I got up and I said, well, gosh, where am I going to go? Okay, I'll drive by the lake because there's a bunch of churches around the lake. So when he told me, but he told me about his youth pastor and who he was and how he was just an amazing man of God and stuff. And so right now it's like 10 o'clock, 10:30. So I'm driving around and I'm like, oh, this looks like too big of a church, too little of a church. So I stopped at this church. It was First Christian Church. I got, they were doing their Sunday school class. And I said, well, you know, where are the Christians? And they led me to their youth room, and Roger Lucas was teaching their youth. And they said, here's this nurse, and she knows Kelly at the hospital. And so I walked in, and they go, Kelly told us all about you. And I go, I actually walked into the church that he went to. So then I stayed for the service. You know, it was, and Roger hugged me, and I did not like being hugged. I had shut down emotionally. So anyway, I walked into the service, and the Holy Spirit just came on me, and I saw that Jesus knocking at the door, and I was like, oh, Jesus, you want to come in my life? And I just, yes, come into my life. And I felt love like I had never felt in my whole life. I had parents that didn't ever say they loved me. And so it was like the first time I've ever been loved. It was like, and I was just like in this Holy Spirit moment. And afterwards, the pastor comes up to me, the main pastor, and says, you were really into my teaching. I'm like, I don't hear a word you said. But anyway, the Holy Spirit just came into me. It's like, and I came out of the church service and everything looked different. My mind was changed by the power of God, the presence of Jesus. And I love Jesus so much because I know he loves me. Have you haven't been loved by God? You need to accept Jesus and his presence. Being a Christian is not the full meal deal. The full meal deal is having the presence of Jesus every day, every moment in your life, where you look at him, you see him, you hear his voice, and you know that he's with you and you're never alone. You never have to be afraid. You can see him, you can touch him, and know him in your spirit.
Yeah, that'll work. So some people have that kind of an encounter. Some people have a process that they enter into. So when we gather together as a church, there's all kinds of different experiences that we have. And one of the things I love about congregational gatherings is that we're here and we have honor for each other. If we're alive, if we're actually Jesus' followers, we have honor for each other and realize that we're all very different, and it's okay. And it's actually very good that we're different because it gives us a lot of different perspectives on who God is. And when we come together, those perspectives get amplified and announced, and revelation comes, and pretty cool stuff happens because we are different. Well, Brother Lawrence had that kind of an experience when he encountered Jesus the first time and realized, when Jody was talking about his presence, that was what he experienced too. And so he actually was so enthralled by everything that he was experiencing that he quit his, or he got healed from his injuries in the war and joined a monastery in France and gave the rest of his life to serving God. And he was a cook for most of that time. And what he was known for, and the only reason we know anything about him is because he would write letters to people, his friends. And after he had passed away, one of his friends, who was a leader in the monastery, collected his letters, and they became this book called Practicing the Presence of God. And it was interesting because the monastery he was part of was known for having bare feet. It was in actually the name of the monastery. It's probably in this information someplace. At the end, he switched from being a cook to a shoemaker, shoe repairer. And it's interesting how his whole life ended up right back there where he was taking care of people who needed shoes on their feet. And so he had this encounter with God that he described in great detail. And you can see it, some of it here. It's under, it says, practicing the presence. Mindfulness is a very contemporary term that's used not just in the church, but outside the church. Mindfulness has become a huge topic in our culture. Being aware of what's going on around you, being aware of who you are and where you're at and the people around you. And in our case, being attentive to God. Attentiveness is really where God, the Holy Spirit, is leading the church right now. It's not so much structure and program and form, but it's more about relationship. The Lord is really opening the door for relationship right now. And so this book is becoming more and more popular in these last couple years because people are kind of moving that direction. Well, we as a congregation have spent the last almost year, we started in June, so we're almost back to June, last year in this journey of understanding and encountering Jesus. Started off with a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit this last summer, then friendship with Jesus in the fall, and we've actually talked about how we can influence the culture around us in the last couple months. I really believe we're on a journey together. This isn't about coming to church. It isn't about where a church is at and what our programs are. People ask me all the time how things are going at Evangel, and I go, well, I don't know. I'll find out when I get back there, you know, and have coffee with somebody or talk to somebody on the phone. That's when I'll find out how Evangel's doing. Because it isn't about this gathering on Sundays. It's about your life and who you are and where you're at and what you're doing. And I just know, because I have so many different encounters with people, that God is actually doing a lot in your lives. He's doing a lot in my life. My whole relationship with Jesus has been transformed in the last 4 or 5 months because of the encounters I've had with him, because I've listened to what he said and I've responded to it and changed things in my life. Really have. I've changed the way I do life. I've changed the way I approach him. I've changed the way I try to understand who he is in my life and what it means. And because of that, my life has changed too. So I put a couple different just kind of bits and pieces from the book here. You can actually go on YouTube, and the book takes about an hour and 13 minutes to read. And you can actually have somebody read the whole book to you on YouTube. It doesn't take very long. But these are some of the snippets of what Brother Lawrence shared, and then we're going to actually do this instead of talk about it. This is one of the things he said. I have found that we can establish ourselves in a sense of the presence of God by continually talking with him. It's simply a shameful thing to quit conversing with him, to think of trifles and foolish things. We should feed and nourish our souls with the high notions of God, which will yield great joy. One of the things that I have been struggling with and trying to go deeper with God is distractions. And the other day, the Lord interrupted me in the middle of my distraction and said, you know that this doesn't bother me, right? That these distractions don't bother me like they bother you. Because I'm kind of in that frame of mind where I think, if I could just get rid of these distractions, I'd have a better time with him. If I just got rid of these distractions and push these thoughts away, which for me, when I sit down and I'm quiet, I get bombarded with ideas and thoughts. A lot of my creativity comes in just pausing. And I find inspiration in those times. And I feel like it gets in the way of my relationship with God. Like those things are just bombarding me all the time and I just want to focus on him. Until he said, you do realize this is not a problem for me like it is for you. You think if you get rid of distractions, you're going to have a better relationship with me. I love you in spite of those distractions and in the midst of those distractions. And it really caught me off guard. It's like, you mean I'm working really hard to push these things away and they didn't even bother you? He goes, no, they bother you. You're the one with the distractions. I'm not distracted. You're right there in front of me. I have complete access to you. Nothing stands in the way. I want nothing more than to relate to you. It's like, oh. It's those kind of revelations that change you. It's like they shake you. They get your attention, and they tend to make you think differently. Here's another one. And so it's the same in the kitchen, the place which I have a great natural aversion. He didn't like being in the kitchen at all. He didn't like cooking. He didn't like serving there, but he did it because his focus was Jesus there. I have accustomed myself to doing everything there for the love of God. On all occasions with prayer, I have found my work easy during the 15 years in which I've been employed there. Here's another one. The time of busyness does not differ with me from the time of prayer. This is the way God talks. This is the way God, this is a good understanding of Jesus. It doesn't differ whether I'm in prayer or the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons at the same time calling out for different things. I possess God in as great a tranquility as if I were upon my knees in the Blessed Sacrament. He really doesn't get thrown off by our stuff. He really can pursue us any place, anytime. Here's some more about being pleasing to God. He does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time. A little act of adoration. I love that. A little act of adoration. You know what that would look like? That would be an interruption, mid-sentence, and you realize he is huge. He is so beautiful. And I'm so grateful and thankful that I'm here right now with you, Jesus. You make such a big difference in my life. Everything has changed since I got to know you, since I came to meet you. And being here with you face to face today reminds me of how much you love me. Those are the interruptions that he causes in our lives. If we pay attention, if we have an attentiveness to a perception of where he's at in our lives at that given moment. You know, some people pay a lot of money and go away to retreats for this. And you know, when you get to a retreat, you know what they do? You've paid them money and they make you be quiet and listen to God. And people have the audacity to charge for that. And you can do that right here, right now. Even as I'm speaking to you, I'm more aware of Jesus than I was in worship. Because it's like the air's cleared right now. I long for times like this. It's really, anyway, something about adoration. Sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings. At other times to thank him for the grace, past and present, he has bestowed on you. In the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. I heard this guy talk about a story about how he was picking up a speaker to speak at a conference, and the speaker was really well known and really revered, and it was an honor to be able to transport him and just spend some time with him. And it was an older gentleman who spoke very slowly, and he said, "Let's pray together." And immediately the guy that was taking him, the guy was speaking, started speaking in tongues very loudly. And he just spoke, and he kept going on and got louder and louder and more aggressive, and finally he just wore out and stopped. And the older guy said, "I love you, Jesus," and just sat there. And he realized that he had spent all this energy trying to work something up that was already there. It was already in the car. It was already available to him. And sometimes, you know, we work so hard at getting God's attention, and we've already got it. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer than we think. And then one more, wasting time. I love this. Do not be discouraged by the resistance you will encounter from your human nature. You must go against your human inclinations. Often, in the beginning, you will think that you are wasting time, but you must go on. Be determined and perseverant in it until death, despite all the difficulties. Somebody sent me this song as I was spending time just focusing on his presence this week, and it's called "Time's Not Wasted." And in the chorus it says, time's not wasted when it's wasted on you. It's a great song, great video. Just the whole experience is really cool, but it's all about not worrying about wasting ourselves on him. That's the picture of Mary at the feet of Jesus, taking the jar of expensive perfume and just breaking it and pouring it out on his feet, wasting herself on Jesus. Some people say that that bottle of perfume was actually the gift that she would give her husband when she became married. and women would save up that perfume and they would pour it out on their husband when they finally got to the place where they were being married. And here she was wasting herself on Jesus. So I'd like to spend the rest of the time doing this. Do you realize, think about this for a second. How many of you in the room are Christians right now? Yeah. Do you realize that Jesus is in you? And that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? Think about that for a second. A whole room full of people who have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's real. He's alive in you right now. How does God feel about this? That he's in a room full of people and he's in them. How many times does he just want us to stop and listen and experience him in the midst of being with each other? I think it's all the time. I think he hungers and thirsts for moments. But he can open our eyes to see what's really going on around us. So the scripture that's been running through my heart and mind this week is out of Psalm 27. And it's really short and it's really simple, but it's like a surgeon's knife being able to cut into your heart. My heart has heard you say, my heart has heard you say, not my ears, not my eyes by reading the scripture, but my heart has heard you say something. David is saying, my heart has heard the voice of God. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. Of all the things that God could say, not follow these five rules, not, you know, repent, not read your Bible. These are all things we say to each other and the church says to us all the time. But he says, my heart has heard you say, come talk with me. He didn't say, come listen to me or come in reverence, bow before me in silence, but he says, come talk with me. God is saying, I want to talk, but I want you to talk too. I want to talk with you. To me, that's a 50-50 conversation. He wants to talk. He wants to hear our response. He wants us to ask questions. He wants us to delve into life and what it means and how important it is to us. My heart has heard you say, come talk with me. And my heart responds. Not my mind responds, my heart responds. We are so fixated on what happens up here. It's interesting because in Romans 12, God says, I will change you. Oh, yes, I will change you. I'll transform you. I'll change the way you are, the kind of person you are. I'm going to change you, but I'm going to do it by changing the way you think. Because what happens up here gets so much in the way of what we want to do in our relationship with God. A bunch of us went up to Toronto during the Toronto Blessing, which was a crazy, crazy gathering for years that they had up in Toronto where God was pouring his spirit out. And one of the statements that they made in the Toronto Blessing was, less thinking and more drinking. That was one of the things that they said to each other. Less thinking and more drinking. Less thinking about what's going on and how it's all working and more drinking of the Holy Spirit. Just experiencing God. So my heart has heard you say, come talk with me. And my heart responds, and this is what it says, Lord, I'm coming. That exchange is really an encounter with God. That's really a very compact, concise encounter with God. And that's an encounter with God you can have today. That's available to you today. So I just want to spend a couple minutes and just be still before the Lord and see what he says to our heart. David said, my heart has heard you say. What are you hearing him say to you today? So let's just be still before the Lord a little bit and see. Lord, make my heart ready for what you have to say. Let me hear what you have to say to me. One of the things we're doing is we're training our hearts to listen. You may have never done this before, but today's a great day to start. Let your heart listen to what the Lord's saying. One of the things I love about you as a people, and I know you fairly well because I spend time with you, is that you have a value for what God says to you. How many of you heard God say something? Raise your hand. Probably a third again. What is it you want, Lord? What is it you have to say? What's on your heart today? What's important to you?
Being obedient. Good morning, Evangel family. Since Jeff Hess said this, I'm being obedient to something that God put on my heart this morning to share with everybody. And I was like, no, I'm not going to say anything. But in my morning devotional journal, the scripture Corinthians 5:7 was in there this morning. Walk by faith, not by sight. And so I'm sharing that with you for anybody that may need to hear that scripture.
Thanks, Monique. I love this atmosphere because it's like the picture the other day, journeying down the stream, is, I get this a lot when I think about you guys. I think about sitting in a raft or a tube and just floating down a river. My picture is always the Klaskanai River. That's where I grew up. It kind of winds, and you can't tell what's around the corner till you get there. And so it's an adventure. And I remember as a little kid floating down that river and thinking I was going into another country because it was so far away. The cone around the corner was so far away. And that's what it feels like traveling with you. It feels like we're on a journey together. And we come back together on Sundays and meet and talk. But all week long we're doing things with God and with each other, with people who don't even know him. And yet they're seeing him when they look at you. They're seeing what he looks like when they look at you. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "For the Lord your God is living among you." He's living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. That's who he is. He doesn't just do that. He is that. He will calm all your fears. When I see all the fear that's going on right now in the world, I don't get it, to be honest with you. I don't get what's empowering that fear. I don't get why people are embracing fear so much. I mean, like, it's their friend. It's they're holding on tightly to it, and they won't let go because it feels they feel strength in holding on to this fear. And yet, we know what we're going. We know who we are. We know what's in our midst. We know that God's right here, right now. We don't have to go anywhere to get him. You don't have to come to church. When you leave this place, he goes with you. This is brilliant, this idea of God's, to put him in people, to put the Spirit of God in people. And the Spirit of God is not just this elusive Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is real, tangible at times. You can feel his presence. Let me just show you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to manifest yourself right now in this room. Come into this room and manifest your presence here. So just make yourself aware of what's going on around you. Close your eyes so you're not distracted, and just pay attention to what's happening around you right now. What it feels like a lot of times to me is that it's like the air gets thicker. And it's almost, I can almost feel a numbness around me, this kind of tingling numbness. Some of you may feeling like a part of your body's getting warm right now just because the Holy Spirit's manifesting himself in a way that you can understand. For some of you, you're starting to perspire a little bit right now. Because his presence is coming near. You're experiencing the presence of God. And some of you, this is really familiar to you. Some of you have never experienced it before today. But this is the Spirit of God. Third person of the Trinity, manifesting himself in our midst. How cool is that? That the Lord would respond to us that way. I love your presence, Lord. I love your presence, Holy Spirit. I really enjoy being in your midst. I enjoy so much that you love me this way, that you come. Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "You will show me the way of life. Grant me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." In the Passion Translation, it says, "For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path that brings me to the overflowing joys, the exquisite and eternal pleasures of gazing upon your face." The Psalms are amazing in so many different ways, but the thing I love most about the Psalms is the language it teaches you. The Psalms are the language of heaven. I don't think David was that good. But I think God through David was phenomenal. I think God began to give David insight into the language of heaven. And a lot of the Psalms are actually David transcribing God's thoughts. I can hear his excitement in his voice saying, I'm going to tell him this about me. And when other people, when he reads it, he's going to fall on his face. He's not going to believe those words just came out of his pen. He's not going to believe those words just came out of his mouth because they're so not like David. But he's so much a man after my own heart that he'll actually write down what I say to him. And for thousands of years, people will read David's words and they won't even realize that that's my heart. Those words are how I feel, how I think, who I am. So as you read through Psalms, you realize, at least I do, I don't talk like this. That's not my voice. I don't say those words. When I talk about God, it's like, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I can't think of much else. Maybe a song comes to mind, but for David, it was like, it was beautiful. It was beautiful words. And Lord, I just ask you for us as a people that we begin to catch a glimpse of the language of heaven and begin to talk to you in your words instead of ours. Begin to give us your words. Holy Spirit, begin to give us, the bride of Christ, the words of heaven to begin to speak to God with. Just ask for it. If that's you, just say, I want this, Lord. I want to speak to you with your words, God. James says, if you want it, ask for it. There's nothing he won't give us. There's nothing he'll withhold from us. The young woman who wrote Jesus Calling, that's actually that book, that devotional book is actually her notes out of her notebook that she got while she was spending time with Jesus over a long period of time. She turned it into a book, a devotional that you can read every day. It's really short and to the point, but the whole point of Jesus Calling is she realized that as she was writing notes in her notebook, in her journal, she realized that what she was writing was written in first person. It was like God was talking. And so a couple years ago, I started reading Jesus Calling, not because it's deeply theological, but because it's first person Jesus. And my thought was, when I wake up in the morning, the first words I want to hear are his words. Because it's so easy to go to schedules. It's so easy to go to lists of things to do, but I want to hear his words. And this is what his words sound like. I will not show you what is on the road ahead, but I will thoroughly equip you for the journey. My living presence is your companion each step of the way. Stay in continual communication with me, whispering my name whenever you need to redirect your thoughts. Thus, you can walk through this day with your focus on me. My abiding presence is the best roadmap available. Here's some more of his words. There are actually more than four dimensions in this world where you live. In addition to the three dimensions of space and the one of time, there is the dimension of openness to my presence. And so that's what's happening right now. There's an openness to his presence. This dimension transcends the others, giving you glimpses of heaven while you still reside on earth. This was part of my original design for mankind. This is part of his original plan for us. Adam and Eve used to walk with me in the garden before their expulsion from Eden. I want you to walk with me in the garden of your heart, where I have taken up permanent residence. This is where he speaks to us from. My heart heard you say. That's that garden that he's talking about. One more. Let me free you from fear that is hiding deep inside you. Sit quietly in my presence, allowing my light to soak into you and drive out any darkness lodged within you. Let's just do that. Since fear is so prominent in our lives right now, let's do that. He says he wants to free us from fear that's hiding deep inside of us. So we expose ourselves at the deepest level we can to you. Holy Spirit, we expose our hearts to you. For many of us, there's fear that's lodged in there. We ask you that you'd shine your light, the light of your presence, and it would begin to soak into us. Let the light of your presence soak into us right now and drive out any darkness. Any dark thoughts, any worries that have come from what you've seen or heard around you. For some of you, you've been so worried about money. So worried about money, whether you're going to have what you need. For some, this whole talk about infection has really got you. It's gripped your heart. You're really afraid, and you're afraid to tell anybody about it. You've invited the light of the Holy Spirit to come, the light of his presence to come, saturate you from the inside, and begin to dissolve any fear that's there. Holy Spirit, we trust you. That's exactly what you're doing inside of us right now. We started out by saying, my heart has heard you say, come talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. We just say to you this morning, Lord, we're here. Our heart has heard you say, come talk with me. And you're here, we're here, Lord. At the end of your notes, I gave you a couple ideas on how to journey in, to go into this place. One of them is to be intentional. We've done that. We intentionally position ourselves to encounter his presence today. The second thing is to use your words. If he says, my heart has heard you say, come talk with me. And my heart responds, I am coming, Lord. We're coming with words. And so I just want you to spend a few minutes talking to God. Just talk to him. Use your words. Not the words in your head, not a mental conversation, but hear your own voice speak to God as if he's right in front of you. No one will hear you. You don't have to worry about being self-conscious. Just whisper the words, but begin to talk to God and use your words. And maybe you say a couple sentences and then you stop and you listen. You might hear a response from the Lord and then respond to what he says. And it's this back and forth conversation with him. Spend a few minutes talking with him. Thank you. I just want to ask a question for all of us. Father, how do you feel about me? When you have thoughts of me, Father, what do you think? And just listen for a response to that question for you personally. Father, what do you think about me? One of the other aspects of this journeying in with him is to focus on his character, not yours. So when he answers that question, what do you think of me, Father? Because you are created in his image, he doesn't think about you, he thinks about his son. How amazing is it that the Father would talk about you the same way he talks about Jesus? That the words he used to describe his love for his son are the same words that he would use to describe his love for you. Dwayne, would you just sing over us for a little? Just let the Father's heart be poured into you. I ask you to give Dwayne your words.
Son, nothing that you can do make me love you more. All my love I pour to you. You are my delight. My delighted one.
of the primary forms of spiritual warfare is actually hearing the Father's voice over you. It's not about you yelling and screaming at the devil. It's about hearing his voice, hearing his thoughts, getting his ideas. Because so many of us have conditioned ourselves to hear negative thoughts about ourselves. It's what the world says about us. It's what the internet says about us. It's what our family and friends say about us. And we get these words lodged into us. And the Father's voice can actually begin to wash those things away. And with it, I mean, we talked about technology last week, but the connection we have, that the openness there is to things online, we have access to not only the experiences we have with God, but other people have with God. And I put a guy's name in here, Eric Gilmore. I've been listening to him the last couple weeks. And he's one of those guys who, when he had his initial encounter with God, it was one of these kind of encounters. Actually, when he got saved, this is what happened to him immediately. It was, he found himself in the presence of God. And unlike most people, he didn't leave that. He just stayed there. And now he's got years and years and years of experience encountering God. And he's really sought after conference speaker right now, because he gets up and he just talks about what he experiences when he spends time with the Lord every day. He spends hours of time with the Lord every day, hours just sitting before the Lord, listening for his voice, talking with him, experiencing him. And his insights are remarkable, because he's spent time with God. He hasn't got his insights from books or speak other speakers, but he gets it directly from God. And it's just, it's a joy to listen to him. Jody and I went down to Portland last night, and in the car just listened to him talk about what it was like for him to encounter God. And it's inspiring, and it's focus. It helps you focus. It's so not CNN and Fox News. So much not that. It's so much different. And when you start hearing somebody talk about the way they have encounters with God, you realize, I want this, but I don't have it the way that I want it. I want more of this. And let me just encourage you, we've all got 24 hours a day. Nobody's got more. You may think that you have less, but you actually have 24 hours just like everybody else. Start. Just start somewhere and give him some time. Don't go with a list of things you want him to do. He already knows about the list. He's heard you think about it. He saw you writing it down. He knows what you journal. He knows what frustrates you. Just let him begin to speak to you every single day. Let him begin to encounter you every single day. And just start out with whatever you can start out with. But don't let a day go by where you don't sit before him and just let him speak to you. This whole idea of my heart has heard you say, come. And my heart responds, I'm coming, Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the freedom we have in this country to do what we did today. I feel the pressure every week to try to produce something that will tingle people's ears and stir their hearts. And I'm glad that we have the freedom to do what you say, to go where you want to go. I'm glad we had the freedom this morning to worship you exuberantly and pour our hearts out to you in excitement for what you're doing in our midst and the stirring up revival in our hearts. You know, revival is, we're not talking about meetings, right? Sorry to interrupt my own prayer. You know, we're not talking about revival meetings when we talk about revival. We're talking about revival of the heart. We want this city revived. We want the people in the city revived. We want our hearts revived. So when we sing that song, Lord, we really mean it. We want revival. We want revival. We hungry and thirsty for revival of hearts. Let it come. But also, we had, 45 minutes where we didn't have to do what we typically do at church. we could just be with you and talk about what it's like to be with you and experience being with you. I just pray that you have planted something in our hearts today, Lord Jesus, that won't quickly dissipate when we walk out of here. But I trust you, Holy Spirit, that you've stirred up something deep within us that's going to call us back to you every day. That's going to call us back to come and meet with you every day. And I am grateful even before it happens. I trust you, Jesus. Every step of the way, you know what's best, and you know what we need. And so it's a joy to call you Lord. It's a joy to call you Father. It's a joy to be yours, Jesus. It's a joy to let you lead us, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Tuesday, we're doing the community house dinner, so anybody wants to, you can show up at 5:30, and we're going to make dinner for the people at the community house, have dinner with them, enjoy being with them. The cold weather shelter's open this week because it's supposed to be below 35, so anybody is interested in volunteering down there, just talk to me. I'll weasel you in. Other than that, I hope today has been life-changing for us. Amen? Bless you.